the supplication on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness, and I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets, and thy messengers, whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change. And that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive, and make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely, thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans, and muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty ones.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. You are listening to IRIB English Radio, and this program today is special. We're going to speak about Lady Zahra, role model for women. Today, Thursday, is the 16th of Jamadil Awwal, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 11th of Day, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar. and the 31st of December 2020 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is chapter Ahzab, chapter 33 of the Holy Quran, verse 35.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات والقانتين والقانتات والصادقين والصادقات والصابرين والصابرين والصابرات والخاشعين والخاشعات والمتصدقين والمتصدقات والصائمين والصائمات والحافظين والحافظين فروجهم والحافظات والذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات أعد الله لهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما.
Indeed, the Muslim men and Muslim women, the believing men and believing women, the obedient men and obedient women, the truthful men and truthful women, the patient men and patient women, the humble men and humble women, the charitable men and charitable women, the fasting men and fasting women, the men who guard their private parts and the women who do so, and the men who remember Allah often and the women who do so. For them Allah has prepared forgiveness and a great reward.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In the Quran, we read numerous verses about patience, sincerity, complete submission to God, consciousness of Allah and modesty, and indeed Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, has reached the pinnacles of perfection in all of these areas. Why we claim this? Please listen this episode of today's special.
ذكرنا يا فاطمة فخرنا يا فاطمة ذكرنا يا فاطمة فخرنا فاطمة.
Fatima, the perfect role model. The multidimensional personality of Lady Fatima, alayha salam, peace be upon her, is an illuminated example for today Muslim women living in not only in an Islamic society. A woman can be living in not only in an Islamic society. A woman can be at the same time a good mother, daughter, wife, teacher, and mentor of her children, a voluntary social worker, a distributor of wealth and property among destitute and needy for the society, a passionate housemaster, a model of self-sacrifice to give away any possession in the way of Allah, a promoter of Islamic modest dress and modesty for women, a mujahida in the time of war, a supporter of Muslim army, and worshipper praying to Allah in night, and much more. Setting Hazrat Fatima Zahra as a role model, a woman can perform all these roles under different circumstances, whether the society is at peace or at war, whether there is economic or material hardship, or whether members of society are hostile, or whether support from creatures is lost, and when the only hope is with Allah the Almighty. Life of Hazrat Fatima Zahra is certainly a bright guiding star under all circumstances for a Muslim woman.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Be meanest thing.
In this episode, we are going to review some remarkable and praiseworthy qualities of Hazrat Fatima Zahra Salamu Allah Aleyha, the daughter of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Hazrat Fatima Zahra Salamu Allah Aleyha proved to be not a burden, proved to be just a sincere associate to Imam Ali Alayhi Salam. The best wife means to be very much tolerant in almost all situations. And Hazrat Fatima Zahra Salamu Allah Aleyha proved to be one such as an exemplary personality. Perhaps another praiseworthy character or aspect of the life of Hazrat Fatima Zahra Salamu Allah Aleyha was that she was very much concerned with other people. According to a piece of hadith, Hazrat Fatima Zahra Salamu Allah Aleyha used to pray for her neighbors and relatives and so on, associates, relatives, acquaintances, and so on. And then when one of her sons asked her about why she only prayed for others, Hazrat Fatima Zahra Salamu Alayha answered, Al-Jar from Madar. First the neighbors, then close associates, then the members of the home. You find that this being thoughtful about others is a very good trait of the personality of Hazrat Fatima Zahra Salamu Alayha. Although many people didn't fulfill what was expected of them regarding Hazrat Fatima Zahra Salamu Alayha, yet Hazrat Fatima Zahra Salamu Alayha was very much thoughtful about all of them. Thank you. Allahumma salli ala Fatimata wa abiha. Allahumma salli ala Fatimata wa abiha. Wa ba'liha wa baniha bi'adadi ma ahata bihi ilmuk. اللهم صل على فاطمة وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها بعدد ما أحاط به علمك.
Fatima Zahra, in the words of the infallibles, the Prophet's love for Fatima. The Prophet's high regard for Lady Fatima as that of a woman who was held with high esteem is seen in Imam Baqir's narration. What's that? Imam Baqir, peace be upon him, said whenever the Prophet decided to travel, he would bid farewell to his family members first. In the end, he would say goodbye to Fatima. The last person he would meet before traveling was Fatima, and the first person whose house he would visit upon his return was Fatima.
I wake up to find you have left, oh Father. My tears drip down and they flow like a river. Please come back, I ask you by our Creator. I have never been away from you ever. I miss your scent and kiss, O son of Haider. And my name is the sweet name of your mother.
Lady Zahra's role as master of her maid servant, Fizza. Her role as master to the maid servant bestowed to her by Prophet of Islam is yet another example of her multidimensional role. She played as an active and compassionate Muslim woman. Not going into details, we can't find a single instance in the history of Islam whereby a housemaster would take turns every other day with her maidservant in household work. So one day Hazrat Fatima will do the household work while her maidservant Fizza would take rest. This unique routine is, in the midst of hardships in the life of Muslims in Medina, where in 10 years when Prophet was present in 27 battles, and Imam Ali alayhi salam was present in many more, being away from house. How could a house master allow this alternate day house chores? Under such dynamically adverse lifestyle of her husband and father, except that she had a strong sense of human values and human rights to its utmost level.
Fatima Zahra alayhi salam, she had a very strong relationship with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. One day, Rasulullah, after coming back from traveling, he and Amir al-Mu'mineen came back, and this was after the Battle of Khaybar. The Muslims financially were better well off after the Battle of Khaybar. They were confident no one's going to attack them, because the kuffar, they came and they tried to attack them and they weren't able to defeat them. And the Muslims, they defeated Khaybar. So the Muslims felt confident and they became rich at that time. And this was towards the end. This was the 8th year after Hijrah. Fatima Zahra alayhi salam, she had, when Rasulullah was coming back, she hung a decoration. She hung a decoration on the wall, so that when Rasulullah comes and when Amir al-Mu'mineen comes in the house, they see that she has decorated the house for them. Rasulullah sees that Fatima has a decoration in the house. Rasulullah, he entered the house. He saw Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. His eye fell on the decoration, a type of jewelry she had hung up on the wall. Rasulullah, he looked at it and he did not say anything. And then he left, he went to the masjid. Fatima al-Zahra, at that moment, she realized that Rasulullah did not like what he saw. But he did not say anything about it. So he's in the masjid. She takes that decoration off the wall. She folds it and she gives it to her children. She says, go and give this to Rasulullah and tell him, this is fi sabilillah. This is, do whatever you want to it in the name of Allah. They come and they bring this to Rasulullah in front of the Muslims. Rasulullah, he takes this. He says, قَدْ فَعَلَتْ فِدَاهَا أَبُوهَا قَدْ فَعَلَتْ فِدَاهَا أَبُوهَا قَدْ فَعَلَتْ فِدَاهَا أَبُوهَا. Three times he says, may the soul of Rasulullah be sacrificed for the soul of Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. She gave in the way of Allah. This is Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam.
Dear brothers and sisters, as you see, this is a very nice and interesting discussion. And because of that, we try to know more about this great and noble lady. So it's a good idea that we continue this topic on the next episode of today's special, inshallah. So please follow today's special on IRIB English Radio. Fi amanillah.
يا فاطمة الزهراء يا بنت محمد يا قرة عين الرسول يا سيدتنا ومولاتنا إنا توجهنا واستشفعنا وتوسلنا بك إلى الله وقدمناك بين يدي حاجاتنا يا وجيهة عند الله اشفعي لنا عند
Food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners. On the eve of the new year of the Gregorian calendar, we present you an interesting saying regarding Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, from Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, as related by his divinely designated vicegerent, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. The messenger of Allah called me and said, O Ali, verily there is a similarity between you and Jesus, the son of Mary, peace be upon him. The Christians love him so much that they put him in a position that was not for him. And the Jews hate him so much that they even slandered his mother. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib added, Two groups of men will be ruined because of me. He who goes to extremes in love of me for what I do not have, and he who hates me with a hatred that makes him slander me.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahi ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina wa Mawlana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala Ahli Baytihi al-Tayyibin al-Tahirin al-Ma'sumin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listener. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. This hadith that I will share with my dear brothers and sisters is a quite an interesting hadith. The Imam alayhi salam, that is Imam Ali alayhi salam, mentions a house that is the best of houses. And the only reason it is the best of houses is because it enables a person to ponder upon something. Now, it becomes the best of houses when this is actually done. It's not just the best of houses because it's what it is. It becomes the best of houses because of what it can enable a person to do. The Imam says that the best of houses is the bathhouse. Now, this is quite an interesting concept. Obviously, today we don't have bathhouses as common anymore. Not to say they don't exist, yes, in certain countries they still exist, where a person will go to a particular place that is specifically to take a bath or a shower, and obviously he would pay a specific fee and go in and clean himself. This was something that was common back in the day when, you know, not everybody had taps, or we didn't have taps. You know, people had to go and actually fill up buckets of water. So there was a specific place that had hot water. This is important. The Imam says that the best of houses is the bathhouse. For in it the fire of hell is remembered. Now this is important. Why is the fire of hell remembered? Obviously, we see that when a person enters a bath, it is full of steam everywhere. It is a hot. Sometimes you might even see a boiler there. Obviously, the boiler is not as we have today. But for example, a fire. Coal being thrown into this fire. And that fire then obviously creating the warmth that is inside that particular place. So a person who is able then to pay attention to exactly all these things that are going around him and to remember the fire, you know, it's something that will enable him that when he leaves, he is conscious that he needs to pay attention to his deeds, pay attention to his actions, pay attention to his responsibilities, and so on and so forth. And the second thing the Imam says, and bodily dirt is removed. So then, for example, a person also gets clean. And we know that cleanliness is part of godliness, the famous tradition of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So here, for example, it is seen that the house itself has, you know, no benefit. My own understanding is that, for example, that house or that bathhouse at that time had no benefit. But if a person pays attention to those things around it that enables him to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's also both of these things do, then it becomes the best of houses. Remembering the grave is one of the best of actions. Remembering one's ultimate abode obviously enables a person to pay attention to everything else that he does. Knowing that one day he will be going there, he will obviously work towards that final abode. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to take lessons from the world around us. This is what this hadith teaches us, that to take lessons from the world around us and to obviously pay attention to our ultimate abode and to work towards it, that we have a good ultimate abode, inshaAllah. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآني
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, a program that broadcasts from Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran. And its aim is to bring the recitation of the Holy Quran into our lives. In this program, first, we're going to have some quotes about the Holy Quran by some Western scholars. Then, we're going to listen to some verses by famous reciters. After that, Brother Muhammad, the expert of Tajweed, is going to analyze the recitation. And at the end, we have a segment called Attractiveness of the Holy Quran, presented by Brother Yasser Ibrahim. Stay tuned. In this part, we're going to have some scientists' comments regarding the Noble Quran. Professor Siyada, who is an internationally famous Japanese scientist in the field of oceanic geology, after discussion about function of mountains for the fixing of the earth, concerning the Quran says, I believe that this, that is the Quranic information, is very, very strange. It is nearly impossible. I believe truly that if what we are saying is right, thus this book, that is the Quran, is very valuable to be noticed. Dear audience, now it's time to listen to the recitation of verses 17 to 19 of Surah Ash-Shura, recited by Sheikh Ahmad Amir.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الله الذي أنزل الكتاب بالحق والميزان وما يدريك لعل الساعة قريب يستعجل بها الذين لا يؤمنون بها والذين آمنوا مشفقون منها ويعلمون أنها الحق ألا إن الذين يمارون في الساعة لفي ضلال بعيد الله لطيف الله لطيف بعباده يرزق من يشاء وهو
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. You just listened to the recitation of Shaykh Ahmad Amir, who recited Surah Ash-Shura, verses 17 to 19. And now we want to analyze this recitation in terms of the rules of tajweed. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الله الذي أنزل الكتاب بالحق والميزان. Okay, at the beginning of this verse we have the name of Allah, the majestic name of Allah. It begins with a Hamzatul Wasl. We all know that Allah, the first letter has to be pronounced with a Fatha whenever it's the first word that we are pronouncing. And so the lam also is pronounced with taghlil, with thickness. Allahu alladhi anzal al-kitab. We have maddul munfasil here. Shaykh Amir recited maddul munfasil with qasr. Qasr means two vowel counts, like a normal maddul tabiri. So he's reciting in the riwayah of Hafs an Asim, where you are allowed to lengthen matul munfasil to 2, 4, or 5 vowel counts. Anzal al-kitaba bil-haqqi wal-mizan bil-haqqi. The qaf has to be pronounced with the lowest level of tafkhin. If you say what bil-haqqi, that's too much tafkhin. وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّ السَّاعَةَ قَرِيبًا قَرِيبَ قَاف has تَفْخِيم and the ra has ترقيق يَسْتَعْجِلُ بِهَا الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهَا يَسْتَعْجِلُ The عين has to be pronounced from the middle of the throat, from the pharynx, and without any قلقلة. If you say يَسْتَعْجِلُ بِهَا الَّذِينَ, that's incorrect. يَسْتَعْجِلُ بِهَا, see, it's completely sucking and there's no movement, vowel movement in it. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مُشْفِقُونَ مِنْهَا وَيَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهَا الْحَقَّ. Now, when we reach the word الْحَقَّ, if we stop on this word, we have to pronounce two qafs, both with sukoon. The first qaf is hell, the second qaf is released with qalqala. Haqqa. We don't say haqqa, haqqa, because originally a letter with a shatta is two letters, two same letters, one with sukoon, the second one with haraka. So we have to say al-haqqa. We have to hold the qaf a little and then release it. Ala innal ladhina yumaruna fis sa'ati la fi dhalalin ba'id. We have iqlab of nun sakina here. Dhalalin ba'id. The mouth does not completely close. There is a slight opening between the lips. And at the same time, you have to make a nasal sound for two vowel counts. It takes a lot of practice to master iqlab of nun sakin and get it right. If you say walalin ba'id, the mouth is too open. Or if you say walalin ba'id, the mouth is completely closed. We want a slight opening, as much, they say that a thin sheet of paper should fit between the lips. That's how small the space should be. Allahu latifun bi'ibadihi yarzuqu man yasha'. Again, we had another iqlab. And before that, we had a ta with ya'ul mad. So again, the ta, just like the qaf in bilhaqqi, has to be pronounced with the lowest level of tafkhim, latifun, latifun, not latif, latifun. وهو القوي العزيز وهو القوي العزيز. The qaf has tafkhim again at the second level. We should be careful we don't give too much tafkhim to the qaf. You don't say وهو القوي العزيز. It sounds like a dhamma if we give too much tafkhim to a letter of istirla. And finally, aziz. We have to hold the zay a little bit because we have to observe the timing of zay, which is a letter of rakhawa. It's a weak fricative. Al-aziz. If we say al-aziz, that's incorrect. That's it for this segment of the show. I now invite you to listen to the next segment of the program, Let's Recite the Quran.
كتاب الله كتاب الله كتاب الله
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome back to a program, or our program, where we discuss and we mention certain anecdotes and beautiful stories that are, you know, encapsulated in the verses of the Holy Quran. Rather, the verses of the Holy Quran enable these individuals to see the light, or rather just to see light and to see the beauty of the Holy Quran. Again, revolving around the 90th verse of Surah Nahl, which is the 16th Surah of the Holy Quran, there's a story that has been mentioned in one of the main commentaries of the Holy Quran, known as Majmu'ul Bayan. Under this verse, this surah, this story has been mentioned. One of the companions of the Holy Prophet, a great companion, one of the great friends of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, also by the name of Uthman ibn Mad'un. He was a great companion, a firm believer in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he mentions this, and he says that in the beginning, you know, I was not a very firm believer in Islam. Islam did not penetrate my heart. I accepted Islam out of respect for the Holy Prophet. You know, he would come and he would talk to me about Islam and keep on inviting me. And I was just like, you know, because of all the efforts that the Holy Prophet made in respecting him, being nice to him, or even some may say just getting him off my back, I accepted Islam. But Islam was not something that was firm in my heart. I did not have that firm belief yet. Until one day that I got into the presence of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Holy Prophet was in this state of contemplation. After a while, the Holy Prophet's face and eyes were fixed upon the sky, and it was as if he was understanding an important message, or getting something important, or rather, you know, trying to understand something important. So after that state of the Holy Prophet passed, I asked him that what happened to you, Ya Rasulullah, in that particular instant that you fixed your gaze upon the heavens. The Holy Prophet then said to Uthman that all of a sudden Jibra'il came to me and I saw him, and he revealed this verse to me, Inna Allahu ya'muru bil adli wal ihsan. And the Holy Prophet recited this verse till the end. And then it is said that Uthman, on hearing this verse, said that Islam in its entirety filled my heart and it made my belief firm. And then afterwards I went to the uncle of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Abu Talib alayhi salam, and told him what just occurred. Inshallah, the speech of Abu Talib and the reply to him to Uthman in our next episode, inshallah. Until next time, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir, and you can also visit us on our website, that is parstoday.com. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is Call of Islam Radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق
First methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا أو you who believe استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear audience of IRIB English Radio, now we invite you to listen to a short speech by Sheikh Muhammad Al-Hilli. He's going to talk about lessons from the life of Lady Fatima Salamullah Alayha.
Respected elders, sisters and brothers in Islam, Salamun Alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. It is 18 ayat in the Holy Quran in which a famous story presents the excellence of the Ahlul Bayt. It is verses that are of crucial importance to you and I with the contemporary challenges that we face. And indeed, it invites us to ponder upon lessons that can be derived through reflection on the glorious words of the Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala. The story of the feeding of the orphan, the needy and the captive, which is found in Surah Al-Insan, chapter 76 of the Holy Quran, highlights the excellence of the Holy Ahlul Bayt, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhim ajma'in. We can begin, for example, to have this conversation as to how we can be inspired from the wonderful family setup of the commander of the faithful Amir al-Mu'mineen and his beloved wife Sayyidatul Nisa Fatima al-Zahra salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi majma'in. The objective behind the discussion tonight is to come forward with a new term, and that is a family made up of abrar, the righteous family setup. Because the verses in chapter 76 begin through the following: إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ يَشْرَبُونَ مِنْ كَأْسٍ كَانَ مِزَاجُهَا كَافُورًا. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala begins the discussion regarding this very important famous story not by telling us as to what happened in the household of Amir al-Mu'mineen and Sayyidatul Nisa. No. He begins the discussion through what the reward is for those who invest in their family setups. He begins the discussion by talking about a group of people known as abrar. What is birr in Arabic? In Arabic, birr, as far as the lexical term is concerned, is related to something that is vast, like a desert, something that's huge. But then, in terms of its application and understanding through the Quran, it refers to a group of people who are righteous not only by making a difference, but by ensuring that others are influenced positively. So, they are doers of good, but their doing of righteousness has such a positive impact on other human beings. Those are the abrar. Now, the Quran tells us that those individuals who reach the status of having inculcated themselves with birr, with righteousness, with virtue, with good, drink from goblets of what? إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ يَشْرَبُونَ مِنْ كَأْسٍ كَانَ مِزَاجُهَا كَافُورًا, which is infused with camphor. Yes, camphor is beautifully smelling. It's something that is pleasing to the soul, and it's something that is beneficial, no doubt. Therefore, the Quran begins with a positive outlook, with an optimistic approach. Yes, إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ يَشْرَبُونَ عَيْنًا يَشْرَبُ بِهَا عِبَادُ اللَّهِ. Now, once you are established as a abrar, a righteous person, then you are honored to be known as Abdullah. Now the Quran switches to another term, عَيْنًا يَشْرَبُ بِهَا. It's like a well that is erupted by the very same individuals. يُفَجِّرُونَهَا تَفْجِيرًا. This is in reference to the idea that people of Jannah walk and they can cause any spring to somehow erupt in every way, in every shape or form. Yes? Then the Quran, yes, discusses the story. عَيْنَا يَشْرَبُ بِهَا عِبَادُ اللَّهِ يُفَجِّرُونَهَا تَفْجِيرًا يُوفُونَ بِالنَّذْرِ. They fulfill their vow. Why? Because of course, the Holy Lady of Light, Amir al-Mu'mineen, when they saw that their children were what? Were not well, they made a vow that they would fast for 3 consecutive days. And what? And that when they saw that this was indeed the case, if their children would become cured, the children were cured, and then they observed this. And of course, Lady Fidda salamullahi alayha was in the household, and she observed what? She observed the fast with them. Now, the Quran does not leave it only with Jannah. يوفون بالنذر ويخافون يوما كان شره مستطيرا. They fulfill the vow because they are worried and fearful of the day in which its hardship and its difficulty is unbearable. So the Quran is saying, okay, start with Jannah, understand the beauties of it, but don't forget the repercussions of actions. But the idea here is that they are khafuna yawman, they are worried and are afraid of that day. You see, here it's a very subtle point. We and I talk about the importance of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is fundamental in Islamic spirituality and akhlaq. But perhaps this notion of presenting God, unfortunately, I say it with reservation, sometimes people present the Almighty God as this very, you know, angry monster who will inflict punishment. Yes? If you are disobedient. And what we perhaps need to do as parents is present the Almighty as a loving creator who's full of compassion, but it's the result of the actions. So the sins itself should be represented as what? As the cause of this punishment. Yes, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who's placed this punishment. But people should be fearing their actions, fearing their sins and transgressions. That is how we should develop and nurture our children to think about and more emphasize on the compassionate nature of the Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا. And they, of course, fulfill. And يُطْعِمُون here in Arabic is the present tense, isn't it? That they continuously fed. And this is an important point that Mufassirin bring forward and say the Quran could have said that they gave food on 3 days. But the very fact that is يُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامِ means, number one, there is something that should continue. That they were planting the seeds, and those who love them and follow them should continue with the spirit of giving and servitude. Number one. Number two, there is a difference between giving food and feeding. Please understand this. Many a times, we hear the story. What is it that we hear? That, of course, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidatul Nisa, Imam al-Hasan, Imam Hussein, all of them, they had each one loaf of bread to break their fast. And, of course, on the first day, the miskeen comes. Miskeen, someone who's really poor, you know, cannot afford anything, including food. So this person comes, and we are told in the story that each and every member of the Ahlul Bayt presented their loaf to this person. True, yes? But this is not what the Quran says. This is not what the Quran says. Quran says, وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامِ. They did not only gave their food to this poor person, they fed the individual. Because there is a difference between اِعْطَاء and اِطْعَام. اِطْعَامُ الطَّعَام means I personally feed an individual. Yes? So Ali Muhammad, those honorable individuals, not only sacrificed their food, but they compassionately fed those individuals. That is a key from the Holy Quran, isn't it? And of course, they repeated the same thing the second day when it comes to the orphan, and the third day to the captive. Captive was whom? At that time, there is no captive who is a Muslim. Definitely, very likely, actually, to be a person who is non-Muslim, who is perhaps an asir and had nothing. And this, of course, shows the human side and how they were not making any differences between whether a person is a Muslim or not, and they gave this particular food for three consecutive days. Now, why did they do so? إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. We are giving you this for the sake of Allah. We are not in need of any recompensation or any thanks or gratitude. Quran, at the end of this particular 18 ayat, says something amazing. Sometimes we stop only here demonstrating the sincerity of the Ahlul Bayt, and they did it for the sake of Allah. But if you continuously read all the verses, you find the final one, talking about the story, says what? إِنَّ هَذَا كَانَ لَكُمْ جَزَاءً وَكَانَ سَعْيُكُمْ مَشْكُورًا. You know, when sometimes somebody of authority, somebody who you respect, somebody who has power, sends you a letter saying, I just want to say thank you for what you did, is grateful for what you have done, you feel a great sense of pride. This person is thanking me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator, the sustainer, the absolute perfect being, in the Quran says, I am thankful to Ali, Fatima, Hassan and Hussein. وَكَانَ سَعْيُكُمْ مَشْكُورًا. I am grateful for what you're doing. That is unbelievable. Yes, that is tremendously motivational and inspirational about these exceptional human beings.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
روحي كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio.